This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. In 1988, Florence Nakamus Klima wrote a booklet about the Casperson School, which is now located at the Rose Pioneer Farm, 3 miles west of Rose. The school came originally from Golden Valley Township, southeast of Winoska. In the preface to her booklet, Florence tells that Millard Jensen and the board of directors of Pioneer Farm chose Casperson as a typical school from the old days and moved it there in 1985. That summer, Florence spent many hours in the basement of Rose Oconee Courthouse, delving into stacks of school records to create her history of the school, which opened in 1908. She found that some years were missing in the records, but found the children going to neighboring schools. This apparently happened when a teacher couldn't be hired if there weren't enough students to justify the costs. She contacted as many people as she could to get first-hand accounts, and I'll read from them today. This first story is entitled Memories from Bernice Erickson Anderson. Late in the summer of 1931, my mother, Cecilia Erickson, my two sisters and I moved from Carlstead to a house right across the road from Casperson School. Full of questions about our future home and school, we rode with Uncle Bill in his blue Model A Ford, following a truck hauling our belongings. When we reached Winoska, both vehicles needed gas. John Riegelstead introduced himself as he filled the gas tanks. After questioning Mom about who we were and where we were going, he disappeared into his house. His wife, Elma, appeared immediately, insisted that we come in for supper and spend the night in their home. The truck driver and Uncle Bill went on to unload. In the morning, Uncle Bill returned. After Elma's tasty breakfast, we continued on our way to the strange new place that we soon learned to love. The Riegelsteads' kindness led to strong friendship. At the time Florence was writing the book, they were living at Sheltering Oaks in Rose. Eddie Bilberg, the county superintendent of schools, hired Mother because it was an unorganized district with no school board. Since the school building had not been used for some time, everything, windows, desks, floors, and especially the big stove and chimney, had to be cleaned thoroughly. I can't remember who helped Mom do the cleaning. Harriet, age 8, and I, age 10, tried to help. I think the neighbors cleaned the yard with the help of the older students. Soon the schoolhouse was attractive and exciting to us. Mr. Bilberg, who checked quite often to see if Mom needed supplies, brought some clean new books, some used books, and a bright new flag for the front of the room. Each morning after Mom rang the small desk bell, we would stand by our desks and say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag." I enjoyed attending a one-room school. It was different from school in Carlstead, where only 2 grades shared each room and teacher. At home, we had many discussions about our mother also being our teacher. We listened attentively to her concerns and tried to please her, but Mother decided it was just too difficult to have all 3 of her daughters as pupils. So Phoebe, my older sister, went to stay with relatives after just 3 weeks at Casperson. Harriet and I were indeed happy to remain there. In my opinion, Mom was a good teacher. She treated each pupil individually, according to ability. She stressed reading aloud with expression. If the older pupils cared to help, and most of them did, they could read quietly with the younger ones in the back of the room. I can't remember if I heard the word phonics, but Mom would always encourage us by saying, "Sound out the word first," and "I will help you." The younger ones would learn letter combinations to sound out the short words. Mom sent the older pupils to the blackboard often, especially for arithmetic. She insisted that we must learn addition, subtraction, etc., so we would be prepared to have our own checking accounts in the future. She was quick to notice which pupils needed extra help. She stressed spelling and penmanship to help us be good letter writers. We would go to the blackboard for spelling too. Every Friday we would have a spelling test. Spell downs were a must. To make a game of it, we would choose sides. Mom also emphasized grammar. When her pupils were talking, she would gently correct our errors. She explained that she was concerned for each of us. Most of our schoolmates loved music, and Mom did too. She made time for music daily, usually at the end of the day. To practice for our Christmas program, we would go across the road to our home, where Mom would play Christmas hymns and carols on our piano as we sang. For special occasions, Mom would treat the pupils. Harriet and I baked quite often. I don't think Mom had any discipline problems. The students, their parents, and other neighbors were friendly and kind to us. They often invited us for delicious meals. We visited with many families, even those who didn't have school-age children. Usually, when visitors came to our home, Mom would play the piano and we would have a sing-along. I'll always remember Casperson School and the kind folks in that area. May I add, blessed be the memory of my mother, Cecilia Erickson. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories. I'll continue that story with another segment called From an Interview with Arlene Thompson Carlson. Dad was quite well-to-do at one time, but he lost almost everything. When we moved to Minnesota, he had only $1,000, which he paid for a farm. He chose the farm because it was directly across the road from Casperson School. This was a good location because of the 5 children in our family. A 6th was born the next year. Our home was a little old log house with 1 room downstairs. It was our kitchen, dining, and living room, and my parents' bed was in one corner. All of us children slept upstairs. We lived in that house for 9 years before moving to Gadsky in the spring of 1946. I remember Miss Tomala. She loved programs. She'd have made a good movie director. We had programs for every holiday. My brother Walter was the only pupil in his grade all through school. Miss Tomala assigned him many recitations and parts in plays. He recites some of them to this day. When I was a 6th grader, Anna Nya was our teacher. She was very gentle and never raised her voice. Nobody misbehaved. We were not afraid of her, but we liked her. Thorolf Melby was my 7th grade teacher. He was very good and very strict. We had the greatest respect for him. I'm sure he doesn't remember the time he scared me. I passed a note to my friend Francis Jesme while Mr. Melby was sitting at his desk with his face behind the Rosa paper. Although I was convinced that he couldn't see me, he immediately put down the paper and asked for the note. I was so scared, I'm sure I turned white. He lectured me. Do you realize what you were doing passing that note? Do you know that you were cheating the postal department? Did you know that there is a $10,000 fine? I sat there miserably picturing the cops coming after me. We never dared complain at home. We were taught to respect and obey our teachers. I fished around at home trying to find out if there really was such a fine. My parents, realizing that something was wrong, got the story out of me. I can remember a strange look passing between Mom and Dad. Of course, they were trying not to laugh. They didn't spank me as I expected, but warned, "You better not do that again." Mr. Melby scared me so much that I never did pass another note in school. We always started our morning with the flag pledge and a song. After the noon hour, we'd sing again. Mr. Melby always asked, "Does anyone have a favorite?" If no one requested a song, he'd say, "How about number 15 in the Golden Book?" We didn't know that he was going with Anna Nya, but he always chose Love's Old Sweet Song, and I'd think, "Not that one again." He didn't finish teaching a second term because he was drafted. We went home for our lunch because we lived so close to the school. When Thorolf Melby was our teacher, the teacherage was built beside the school. He slept and ate his breakfast there, but he didn't like to eat alone, so he often ate at our house. We had very little at that time, but no one ever went hungry. The serving platter always went to the teacher first. I remember that he liked the white meat of the chicken. Dad would shoot rabbits to eat, and sometimes, if there was nothing else to eat, a deer out of season. At school, we had no play equipment except balls, until a wooden slide was built. To slide on it, we had to sit on cardboard. We had no swings. Later, someone put up 2 poles with another pole across. I think it was for soccer. Anyway, we'd kick a ball. We didn't play that very often, as we didn't really know how. We often played pum-pum pull-away. last couple out, and dropped the handkerchief. In the spring, we jumped rope, chanted little rhymes such as rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, merchant, chief. We had a rope long enough for two people, one on each end, to twirl it while someone else jumped. When the jumper stumbled, she moved out to twirl the rope and another student would take a turn at jumping. One of the girls would carry a pail out to the flowing well beside the school and bring it back to fill the water cooler. At noon, the boys split wood from the woodshed attached behind the schoolhouse. One day, Lynn Teague was running with the axe in his hand, being silly. He waved the axe at me and yelled, "Should I sling it?" Although he never meant to hurt me, it did hit near my eyebrow. I still have the scar. Lynn felt terrible, and I was scared by the blood running down my face. We went inside where the teacher washed and bandaged my forehead and warned us, "Never play with an axe." That was a painful lesson learned. When I was in eighth grade, Harvey Banks was one of the students. He could sing and play the mandolin and banjo. The Bankses were a singing family. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.